This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome, one and all. It's the Damage Report. It's a Friday, and we're going to be closing off this week right with me and still not Brett. Hold your horses. He's in Japan, everyone. Let him fly back. But even better, far better, but don't tell Brett that. Wozni Lambre is here for the Friday Damage Report. Woz, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. I didn't realize I was stepping into the huge shoes of one Brett. That's pretty scary stuff, but I think I'm gonna try to hold my own up here.
I think you're gonna be okay. They are big shoes, perhaps even bigger, since I think he's just been eating his way across Japan for 2 weeks now.
I'm jealous.
So we'll see. I know it does sound pretty awesome. He makes better life choices than me in some areas, I think. Why am I not in Japan? Maybe I'll work on that. Anyway, but we have a lot of stuff to talk about. It's been a big week in the news. Last night was pretty big with the State of the Union. And I think we'll talk a little bit about it, actually. We have sort of an obligation to do so. But beyond just that, and there is a lot there, including Donald Trump's whiny, petulant, just projecting response to it, with one post that was legitimately funny. I'm going to give Donald Trump a little bit of credit on part of it, at least. We also have payment gate. Will he pay his actual legal bills? We have a big update on that. That's going to be fun. And updates on the list of VPs for Donald Trump. Some people not on the list that still appear to believe that they are. So that's going to be a lot of fun too. And then of course, that's the first hour and we got other stories too. But in the aftermath, we're going to be throwing away our garbage people of the week. I've got a true classic piece of garbage for you. And Woz is also going to be throwing away garbage first of the week. So definitely stay tuned for that. And if you're listening on the podcast and you only get the first hour, go to the YouTube channel, maybe subscribe, help us hit 1 million subscribers by election day. And you can watch the other videos on demand we release on a daily basis. Now, with that said, Woz, are you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, let's go.
I am. Heads up to the TD though. I decided let's not just jump into it. I'm actually going to set it up. So I apologize for that. That's my bad. And I apologize for that. Last night was the, I didn't think you'd be so right. Well, look at the TD on it. You've got as much energy as Joe Biden. Anyway, last night was the State of the Union and it was an important one. Joe Biden is trailing in the polls. He needs to reassure people that he has the energy and vigor to remain president for 4 more years. And while I think we can all agree, been quite critical of Joe Biden in a lot of contexts where I thought it was fair to be so, I think it was a pretty good State of the Union. And I want to show you just a couple of quick clips, mostly of Joe Biden having fun with the GOP, needling them in fun little ways. So here's an example of that.
We have 2 ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh no, you guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealth. That's good to hear.
So look, when people talk about him being like Grandpa Joe or whatever, sometimes there's bad aspects of that. But that was kind of funny. Oh no, I thought that's what your plan was. It felt like something I might have said in a speech like that. And look, to the extent that consistency matters at all, he's now got them kind of via accolation on the record as saying they're not going to do that. And of course, they're definitely going to try to do that. So we had that. We had, I think, an even better needling in this clip.
46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you have strongly voted against it or they're cheering on that money coming in. I like it. I'm with you. If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know.
Come on, that's pretty funny. And what I like about it is it's not just like cheap humor. He's right on these. They do vote against it and then take the money, you know? They do want to pass more tax cuts. So I like that. And then there's one more just, I think like for an old man, I think a pretty charming little moment. It's self-deprecating. I appreciate that. Here's one final clip.
Let me close with this. I know you don't want to hear any more, Lindsay, but I got to say a few more things. I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever.
So again, I'm not like the biggest Joe Biden fan in the world or whatever, although I have no doubt that because I'm putting out a clip that's positive towards him, I'll be called a shill by some people. But you cannot come out of that and not think like Trump has charisma for right wingers, okay? But that was just being self-deprecating and a little bit fun, a little bit quick on your feet. I liked it. I want to see more of that, Joe Biden. Waz, what do you think? Am I being too kind to the president?
No, not at all. I think it speaks to how bad he's kind of looked over the past year and past few months, that, you know, that he could deliver a performance like this of that Joe Biden that people kind of know and love that made him the nominee in 2020 and ultimately won him the presidency. It's that sort of, you know, every man, aw shucks, can do, you know, that real American quality that he has to him. And I think he finally put that in display, and it's important. And to me, this is the thing. When people are complaining about Joe Biden running again, I don't think anybody thinks on the substance of what a Democratic president is going to do or not do, that Joe Biden would be radically different from some replacement candidate. I don't think anybody's making that claim. I don't think you can make that claim credibly, quite honest, the way the machinery of the Democratic Party operates. I think the argument that people are making is that, yo, can this guy go out and effectively make the case for himself? He has to make the case. It can't be his subordinates, you know, anonymously and Politico and Axios and all of this crap. Joe Biden has to go out and make the case to the American people himself. And that's what people were questioning. He seemed to be a diminished version of himself and was not up to that all important task. Like, he has to go out and meet the people. And last night, thank God, you know, the guy looked like a person with a freaking pulse. So yes, we should applaud that, because that's what we want. And that's what he's going to need to ultimately succeed.
Yeah, exactly. And look, as you just were, we can be fair and nuanced about it. I watched it live. I was sitting there with my wife. I was very worried at the beginning that he was going to stumble and bumble. And there was one moment, which I'm going to talk about later on the show, where he had a moment. But largely, the only slip-ups were, I think, very understandable slip-ups. I slip up sometimes on the show, and I'm only like 52 or something. So I think that was fair. He looked old, mostly, but he was high energy. He had fun. They're going to try to pitch him as just being angry, but I don't think that was the overwhelming emotion. I think he was like happy with the performance of the economy. He was willing to like have a little bit of fun, even at his own expense. So I like that. And look, he seems to like it too, because apparently in a hot mic, some Dem told him nobody's going to talk about cognitive impairment now. So they're feeling good about that. Joe Scarborough said it was a tour de force. He had Frazier's left hook. Now look, it's not that difficult necessarily for him to impress Joe Scarborough. But even Lawrence Jones on Fox and Friends says the Republicans better get it together, because Biden did what he needed to do during the State of the Union. And in terms of like, we'll have to wait and see if this affects the polls in general. But on a poll that CNN had done about whether Biden's policies, do you think Biden's policies are going to move the country in the right direction? Before the speech, 45% said yes, bearing in mind that the sample was slightly more Democratic than usual. So don't take that as like an absolute number, but 45 said yes. After it, 62% said yes. So it appeared to reassure a good chunk of people. And look, some of them are gonna try to like explain it away as he did a bad job. Maybe he could have done a better job, but I think he did a good job. I think he did what he needed to do. I think it will reassure some people. I would keep it up. you know, with some more campaign speeches that have this energy, but I was happy with it. So Waz, any other general comments about his speech before we move on?
Look, I think what people have been complaining about, again, just to draw back on previous presidents, just think about Barack Obama, who admittedly, like, as an orator and, you know, and his prose were so beautiful. He was like the Black Abe Lincoln in that sense. Obviously, he doesn't have many peers. But the bottom line is when he was president, he would go out and use the bully pulpit to propagandize the people towards his cause. He would tout his accomplishments, even whether you agreed or not on whether they were accomplishments or not. He would go out, he would give a State of the Union, he'd give all these big interviews, he would go out and stump for himself. That's what he did. And it worked. He smoked Mitt Romney in his reelection campaign. It worked. He got people to understand that, look, it's going fine. We got a steady hand. Here are my wins. Let's keep this thing rolling. Ultimately, people don't want turnover. People don't want change. People want stability. True. And he was able to make that case, okay? And Joe Biden, who, again, I know a lot has been made, the guy literally has been avoiding media. The guy didn't want to do a Super Bowl interview. The guy has not been using his platform as leader of the free world to make a case for why people should go out and brave the November cold to vote for his ass again, okay? Last night was a step in that direction, and we need to see more of it.
I agree. I think that was fair. It was nuanced. And as a result of that, probably everyone will be mad at us. In any event, that's what we think about the speech. We're going to see over the next week if it helps juice his numbers. He could certainly use it. You expect a bit of a bounce. We'll see if he gets it.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch. Under his administration, families are worse off. Our communities are less safe, and our country is less secure.
I feel deeply uncomfortable in like three ways simultaneously. That is Senator Katie Britt, and I don't know what the hell is going on. Why do I hear so much of her breathing? Why is she alone in a kitchen? Why do the facial expressions and the tone of voice and the ASMR not match what she's talking about? Why is any of this the way it is? But look, maybe you think I'm being unfair. Let's show you more of the speech.
I never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do. It's been a minute since Joe Biden pumped gas, ran a carpool, or even pushed a grocery cart. Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. We hear you. And we stand with you. I know you're frustrated.
I'm not frustrated. I know that you stand with us, but you're standing too close. I need you to back up. I think the best description of what you just saw that I saw online was that Katie Britt is what would have happened if Lauren Boebert had stayed in school and gotten really into the theater arts program. Like, you're just the performance was too over the top. And I like the WWE. So I think that you've gone in a bad direction. And it's not just me. Lots of Republicans had an issue with this. Charlie Kirk said, I'm sure Katie Britt is a sweet mom and person, but this speech is not what we need. Joe Biden just declared war on the American right, and Katie Britt is talking like she's hosting a cooking show, whispering about how Democrats don't get it. Roger Stone said, I guess Katie Britt just failed her vice presidential audition. God awful, comma. And then it just ends there. I don't know, maybe it's high. But I especially like the comment from Tom Arnold, who said, Katie Britt is so bad she couldn't be in one of my movies. So she does have a defender. Donald Trump, who was live tweeting it, said she was a great contrast to a capital A angry and obviously very capital D disturbed president. She was compassionate and caring, especially concerning women and women's issues. Many women's issues, historically, it's been Donald Trump, actually. Her conversation on migrant crime was powerful and insightful. Great job, Katie. So he liked it, or at least he's saying that he liked it. Waz, what did you make of it?
Man, I shudder to think about what the browser history of this woman was in research for this, because Lord have mercy, that breathy delivery in the kitchen, it just conjures certain thoughts. Obviously, this landed with a thud. She's clearly out of her element in this case. She's not used to addressing a national audience in this way. I would be shocked if 3% of the electorate had ever heard of this woman before last night. And so, yeah, she's getting her name out there. But yeah, she's a novice. She wasn't ready for this moment. I'm not even sure why you would ask her to deliver this message. She's not some leader within the Republican Party. I don't know why she was chosen, but I think the thinking being, you know, they're having a problem with women, particularly suburban, college educated women. And so they figured they'd throw one of their cohort up there and assuage their concerns. But I don't see how that would have worked. The Pornhub delivery was just not what anybody was looking for.
I don't know what you mean by that. But anyway, I don't follow and I don't get the reference. Was that a movie? Is that a sports thing? Anyway, yeah. So look, they look, in defense of Katie Britt, they're always bad. I mean, everybody go back and watch Bobby Jindal's, because they had this dude, they set up a podium and then they had him approach it from what felt like 3 football lengths away. And he's just slowly walking towards this thing. So they're always awkward. I don't know why they don't give them like a live crowd to be cheering and providing some evidence. It's always an awkward setting. I think you're 100% right. They want to reassure like suburban moms, like, hey, look, we have a woman and we put her in the kitchen and she's going to convince you that a migrant's about to kill your darling baby. That's what the strategy was here. I don't think that she was ready. I had never heard her speak before. So this now is all that I know of her. And that's not good for her reputation. So we'll see if Donald Trump actually likes what she did. I'm sort of doubting it. I don't think this is going to help her career. But that said, I do want to turn to other Republicans, what they had to say about the State of the Union. Joe Biden seems to have delivered in the State of the Union, and that's not good for Fox News. They were expecting him to be sleepy Joe, old Joe. But that's like in a coma at the podium, but they didn't get that. And they have a theory as to why it's even worse this way. Take a look.
Administrator here with me, UPA Administrator Regan as well.
But they failed. America stood. America stood strong. Democracy prevailed.
You see, they did it then and now. See, back then he was too low energy. Now he's got energy and that's also bad. They seem to think it's bad because they're doing the before and after. If they didn't think that it was a bad thing, why would you do that? And they're going to go even further than that. Sean Hannity even coined a new nickname for Joe Biden based on the fact that he was energetic.
Tonight, America saw, let's say, a very different Joe Biden. I might call him Jacked Up Joe, and that's being charitable. He sounded like a hyper-caffeinated, angry old man. Biden's address was literally filled up with Jacked Up Joe screaming lie after lie.
Okay, look, Jacked Up Joe is fine, I guess, for a partisan hack like him to say at a show. You're gonna drop it multiple times. Don't try to make fetch happen live on your show, buddy. Say it once, and if it starts to go viral, that's fine. But anyway, look at this. They're just scrambling to explain. If he had like fallen apart, if he had mixed up the leaders of different foreign countries, they were ready to go with, he's got dementia, he's too old. But now he didn't do that. So that's actually worse. He's too jacked. He's too energetic, Waz. I guess there's no happy medium. What do you think?
I'm old enough to remember the Saved by the Bell episode with where Jessica Spanos was taking speed. I'm so excited. I feel like Sean Hannity is accusing Joe Biden of either taking speed or cocaine or some stimulant to get his energy up. And I would posit that I don't think that the American people would think that was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think they want Joe riled up and ready to go. So this is just a bad way to describe Joe Biden if you're trying to insult the guy. Yeah. He looked like he was ready and up to the task.
100%. Look, and was he on something? I'm not saying I definitely don't think that he was. I can't prove it, but honestly, I agree. I think the American people wanted that. I said, I think either yesterday on the show or during our Super Tuesday coverage, right before he walks onto that stage, he better shotgun a Four Loko, crush the cans on his head, and then let's do this. Like, because that's what we need for you to win.
Yeah.
And he did that. And I'm sorry, Sean Hannity, that you didn't get the cold, lonely, tired man that you wanted to make fun of. But this is not going to hit with your audience as well as sleepy old Joe.
And listen, just so people understand that this concern isn't just a bunch of people on the internet being busybodies, right? We're talking about Ezra Klein, who back in the Obama years was damn near the mascot of Obamacare. He is probably the most authoritative liberal voice in the country, in the media. Uh-huh. Ezra Klein coming out on his platform in the New York freaking Times to say he thinks Joe Biden should step aside. David Axelrod, who masterminded Obama's campaigns, has said this. You know, like these are like actual prominent liberals and Democrats who are coming out and saying this stuff. They're concerned because why? He needs to go out and do that over and over and over and over and over again from now till November. And I think people rightfully could question whether he had the stamina to do this. And this is what I will say too. The concerns matter because we know the rules. In a lot of ways, this is a beauty contest. This is a popularity contest. We are crowning prom king and prom queen of politics with this presidential election. We know the rules going in. And so if we know the rules, the party is supposed to be putting somebody forward who can go out and deliver on what is expected, right? Yeah. And so that's what people are concerned about. And again, Joe Biden did it last night. He needs to do it over and over and over. He needs to go to Minnesota and do it. He got to go do it in Michigan. He got to go do it in Florida. He has to do it over and over again.
Yep. And when we get to the DNC, he needs to give the best speech of his life. He needs to come out of that with whatever headwind he can get. I could not agree more. But that's what we've talked. We have to say about Joe Biden. Now we do have to acknowledge, obviously, that there's another guy in this race. So we're going to turn to him. Trump had what can, I think, best be described as a bit of a meltdown during the State of the Union. Not just him, by the way. He was like, he advertised that he was doing this big response on Truth Social, and that also had a meltdown. It crashed, which is too bad because I hear it's the voice of the nation. But anyway, once it got back up, he spent that time just whining and complaining and projecting his own insecurities onto Joe Biden. But that said, he did have one post of him trying to like distract himself with something fun. Take a look at this.
We're gonna buy American. We're gonna buy American. Some trade rules. Buy American has been the law since 1933. Also caps, it won't go into effect until 2025. By the way, that law was written and the benefit expires in 2025. New electric grids that are able to weather major storms and not prevent those forest fires.
Okay, I would vote for that chihuahua. I'm being honest. I would vote for that chihuahua. So look, I don't know if he posted that or if some other right winger sent it to him, but that's what he posted. Can I reword that? That is what the former president of the United States and the Republican nominee for president posted in response to the State of the Union. Can you imagine if Obama had made him a panda bear during his first State of the Union? Dear God, yes, he does appear to have just discovered Snapchat. But look, it wasn't all fun. There was a lot of anger and projection. We'll get to that in one sec. But first, what'd you think about that?
I mean, I'm not one of these people who apologizes for the fact that Trump very often makes me laugh. Even when he's being his most ridiculous and vile, I can kind of find humor in the idea that he's so racist that he literally thinks black people love sneakers and Jordans so much that if he puts out a sneaker, black people will like him more. Like, I'm sorry, that is absurd. I have to laugh. And so, yes, this also made me laugh. Donald Trump very often makes me laugh.
Yeah, this was kind of funny. Again, I don't know if he came up with or whatever. And some of the imagery I didn't love, it sort of plays into some of his own biases and bigotry and everything. But the Chihuahua was funny. It was just funny. And honestly, I think if C-SPAN wants to juice their numbers a little bit, they should start throwing some filters up there. Honestly, maybe we should too. To ask yourself, would you not enjoy a daily rundown of the damage facing our country and our world better if it was delivered by that Chihuahua? I know I would watch reruns more. But anyway, let's turn now to this. Donald Trump had a lot to say about the State of the Union. Most of it negative, it turns out. I was as surprised as you were. But here's a sampling. And there was a lot of posts. But he said, the story is that he got through it. He's still breathing. And they didn't have to carry him out in a straitjacket. Other than that, he did not do a very good job. Again, for a dude who like I will remind everyone, dude got COVID, Donald Trump. And then try to reassure the nation that he wasn't on the precipice of death. So he did a public appearance where he was having so much trouble breathing. Maybe glass houses on the respiratory issues. But anyway, he says that may be the capital A angriest, least compassionate and worst State of the Union speech ever made. It was an embarrassment to our country. Yeah, Joe Biden is the angry one, Donald Trump. The fake news media is taking crooked Joe Biden's anger and calling it fiery. That's why they're the fake news. And there's nobody like them. But you're saying he was super angry. It was partisan and it was angry. How is that not fiery then? I heard he's jacked up Joe, according to Sean Hannity. So pick a lane, buddy. The coughing, always the coughing. Hey, he did cough a little bit. Biden talked about the Snickers bars before he talked about the border. First of all, again, glass houses on junk food, Donald Trump. But he wasn't talking about Snickers. He was talking about inflation and shrinkflation. The economy, which you guys seem to pretend to think is important every once in a while. He is so angry and crazy. Yeah, he is. Was there a reflection in his phone screen when he was saying that? But finally, and then we'll discuss. This was an angry, polarizing, and hate-filled capital S speech, not like mine. He barely mentioned immigration or the worst border in the history of the world. He will never fix capital I immigration, nor does he want to. It goes on, blah, 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 blah. Did you draft that before the speech? Dude talked about it quite a lot, actually. He did talk about it a lot. And he'll never fix the border. You single-handedly killed the bipartisan conservative slanted border bill. And this is like, it's easy for me to point that out. That's why he's posting it. He knows that there is a weakness here, that it looks really bad for the Republicans to talk about an invasion and then to kill any effort to actually fix that problem. And that is why they are doing the damage control on a daily basis that they are. Was you still laughing at Trump? No, I'm kidding. What do you think about his response? Was it fair?
It's typical. Obviously, I don't know if it's fair. I don't think that it's fair. Rarely does Trump put out public statements that are like, especially when he's talking about his opposition, that are measured and fair. That's not really been a hallmark of his. And you know, it's funny to watch him truth through the pain, because he so obviously hates whenever somebody else has the spotlight and is commanding all the eyeballs. And he knows that in that moment that Joe Biden is getting all of the eyeballs of people in the country who are concerned about the next election. And that's what that is to me. That's a guy rage tweeting about the fact that he is not the center of attention in that given moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to remember every time he sits down and sees Joe Biden giving a State of the Union, he thinks
that should have been me.
And it could have been if you would not have had such a terrible first term, if you'd given a damn about COVID, if you hadn't been such a racist a-hole, it probably still would be you, Donald Trump. But instead, you're trying to log into Truth Social so that you can post Snapchat filters. Okay, that's as good as being president, right? Anyway, with that said, we do need to take a short break. When we come back, there have been some dramatic legal and financial updates that do bear on Donald Trump and his future, both as a candidate and potentially as a billionaire. We'll break that and more down after this. Really fast, Boz. Did you see Madam Web?
No, of course not.
I
watched a bunch of Dakota Johnson interviews where she was you've seen the movie? I haven't. I don't even know what's going on.
I know.
I got nothing.
First trailer, I thought looked pretty good, but then everything else I saw about it, not so much.
Yeah, people have been killing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for being here. We've got a lot more to talk about, including a big update, the big breaking news of the day. Let's jump into this.
Does Donald Trump have that kind of money sitting around?
Yes. I mean, he does. Of course, he has money. You know, he's a billionaire. We know that.
Oh, yeah, no, we know that he's got a lot of money. Well, he has less money now than he did yesterday because he has actually put forward the $91.6 million bond after losing the defamation case to E. Jean Carroll. So bear that in mind. He was found to have sexually abused her. He defamed her for years, and now nearly $100 million is gone. Now, we don't know for sure if it's like his money. It's being backed. So it looks like there's some sort of deal, potentially could end up costing him far more. And it was secured from the federal insurance company, a part of the Chubb Corporation, which is a real thing. And I'm sure that customers of products of the Chubb Corporation are going to love the idea that they're backing this bond for Donald Trump, but I'll leave that to them to deal with. But he did actually post the bond. He had appealed the judgment as well earlier this week, but in advance of that, he had to put up the money. So there was a Monday deadline to put up the money, as he had 30 days after the judgment, which is back on February 8th, to either pay cash or post an appeals bond. Okay, so Trump has to pay the money even as he appeals the case, though he could get the money back if he wins the case in appeals court, which Alina Haba is sure that he will, but she also thought that he would win the original case, and we all know how that went. So maybe her judgment is not the best in this area. In any event, there's going to be Judge Kaplan is going to need to give approval to this bond. And it's possible, although not necessarily the case, that we will learn how exactly he got them to back this money. What collateral did Donald Trump use? Bearing in mind that he's a billionaire, theoretically, he could have just paid the money. He doesn't seem to want to do that, or maybe can't do that. So did he put one or more of his buildings up to back that? The Chubb Corporation, as of right now, is not talking, but perhaps Judge Kaplan will reveal that. And I will remind you that while he now has made good on that bond, the over $450 million bond in the New York civil fraud case, that still remains to be posted. It's a significantly larger amount of money. And it doesn't look like the MAGA world is gonna save him. You know, they did their best with their GoFundMe and raised $1.3 million that they want to give to a billionaire for some reason. But unfortunately, it didn't raise the $300 million that they wanted to. Weird. I really thought that they were going to do it, Waz, but they didn't quite make that amount.
I mean, look, I think if he masked the grift as part of making America great again, his campaign to defeat the evil, godless libs, commie libs in the Democratic Party, that's one thing. To go out and explicitly say like, yo, I'm trying to pay my court fees while also bragging about being a multi-billionaire, greatest businessman in the history of business or men, you know, that's a different proposition altogether. So I'm not surprised that his GoFundMe campaign was not as successful for that endeavor, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Again, not shocked. That's a lot of money.
Seriously, it's a lot of
They're already tapped out. They just bought $400 gold sneakers. They don't have any more money. And they have to save some money for the next ridiculous NFTs of Donald Trump as like a football player or a superhero or whatever stupid thing he comes up with. Anyway, so that's the money. A little bit of progress. E. Jean Carroll might well get that money. So big day for her. But let's turn now to a pending case, starting with this.
I come under the Presidential Records Act. I'm allowed to do all of that. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. The Presidential Records Act, which is not even mentioned in this ridiculous 44-page indictment, under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal, I had every right to have these documents. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
No, you can't do that. Wasn't true then. It's not true now. You're kind of stupid, I think, actually. But anyway, those are a variety of different excuses that Donald Trump has given for a lot of his behavior. But in particular, the classified documents that he willfully stole from the White House, tried to keep even when it was asked that they be returned. He tried to hide them from those who raided his house to get them. And it's been discovered, of course, that he sold them. So now he has all of these different excuses. And the special counsel, Jack Smith, is trying to get out in front of him using these excuses to either delay or avoid responsibility wholly. And he's not like mincing words on what he thinks about either the absolute immunity thing or the Presidential Records Act, which even Donald Trump in that clip admits is a civil thing and not a criminal thing, but he persists. Jack Smith said in a recent court filing in that case, the immunity claim here is so wholly without merit that it is difficult to understand it except as part of a strategic effort for delay. That is true. That's true. It's almost as if that's what it is. And he seems to know that. The judge definitely knows that. The only question is, will the judge, in this case, Eileen Cannon, allow it to be used as part of a delay tactic? That's immunity. On the Presidential Records Act, he says, Trump's reliance on the PRA as a basis for dismissing the indictment is wrong. The PRA does not exempt Trump from the criminal law, entitle him to unilaterally declare highly classified presidential records to be personal records, or shield him from criminal investigations, let alone allow him to obstruct a federal investigation with impunity. Moreover, his claim that obviously presidential records, highly sensitive government documents bearing classification markings that were presented to Trump during his term in office, can be transformed into personal documents or personal records by the alchemy of removing them from the White House is false. And I love that. He's clearly having a little bit of fun. The joke in the end could be on us, but I think that it makes 100% sense, the case that he's making. With the immunity thing, this could end up being tied up with the Supreme Court ruling on immunity in a different topic. And obviously that is still like a month and a half away. It's a very delayed process. Waz, what do you think about this?
I think it's rare that you hear a judge just straight up come out and rebuke in such a clear-throated fashion Donald Trump and his lawyer's theory of the case here and the precedent that they think that they're citing. The judge just basically told him to shove it. You're wrong. This has nothing to do with what you're being prosecuted for, and to get the hell up out of here. I think that's surprising. It's not every day you hear judges be that emphatic when striking something down, especially somebody as powerful as Donald Trump. I'm more interested, honestly, John, in the idea that Donald Trump can telepathically classify and declassify stuff. Because he said just by even thinking it, he can classify and declassify things. Because, you know, some of his most ardent fans, if you will, followers, if you will, you know, members of his flock, they seem to think he's running a shadow government. He's still the president. Yep. He's, you know, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. They might even be willing to take that next step and think that he might be a god who can just communicate to papers and documents and change their very nature.
Well, look, even if let's say we buy that you can just cross your arms, wrinkle your nose, and now they're declassified. Well, Joe Biden can do the same thing and reclassify them, I guess. So, oh, you're a criminal again. Sorry about that. That's, I guess, how that works. Look, in any event, there's a lot of these trials that are proceeding. And I think for any individual, you might rank which ones you either find to be most like personally egregious or most substantive or whatever. For me, the fact that he stole all these documents is not the worst thing that he did, but I think this is the clearest case. He stole them. There's so much documentation and records that he knew that he'd stolen them. He tried to continue to have stolen them once there were attempts to get them back. I mean, the law either means something or it doesn't. So I don't see how they don't get him on this. Smith goes on to argue how like the situation, the context of the theft and what happened after the theft is so fundamentally qualitatively different than other people who have retained some documents And that is true. And it continues to this day. Donald Trump continues to assert that it was fine that he do this. He's showing no remorse whatsoever. And the idea that any of this could have been accidental, he's destroying even that excuse. Every time he says, no, they're mine, I get to have them. I wrinkled my little nose and now they're declassified. So, you know, it's not to say that he will end up going to jail or whatever. The judicial system has shown a willingness in some cases to protect him against himself. But I don't know, I think it's super clear. In any event, we do have to take our last break of the hour. But when we come back, we've got a little updates on who might be our next VP after this. There's a dragon for you. That was Brett. We pumped in his audio from Tokyo. Anyway, with that said, a little bit more news to close out the hour, starting with this.
President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like to be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me.
Are we speaking with Trump's vice presidential pick right now?
I think President Trump has an idea of who he wants. He said it there, and I think he's going to pick a great vice president.
I'm sure that he will not, but let's focus on them because that is Marjorie Greene and Kari Lake. And they are showing when they're asked, and they're asked often, like, oh, do you want to be VP? They are showing a level of discretion and class beyond their usual capacity for that. They seem to know that you're not supposed to be like, yes, I really want to be VP. That's why I'm doing all of this. Please make me VP. They didn't do that. Okay. And so to that extent, perhaps they have raised their profile and earned a position atop Donald Trump's VP list. Unfortunately for them, they appear not to be on it anymore. So that's the bad news for them. According to GOP strategist and conservative blogger Ryan Gerdusky, the search for President Donald Trump's or potential next president, Donald Trump's vice president, has been whittled down to three. Senator Katie Britt, most famously of whatever her response to the State of the Union was, Senator J.D. Vance and Senator Marco Rubio. Just those three, not others. And look, on Katie Britt, we still don't know yet whether her speech performance will change her stock as a VP candidate. But apparently Trump was watching the coverage and one source close to him said it didn't help. And I have no doubt that that is the case. So to that end, you saw those three names. It's no Marjorie Greene. It's no Kari Lake. The source said, or Mr. Gerdusky said, he certainly tells a lot of people they're on the list, but I've been told fairly confidently by very top people that they're not on the list, that the list is just those three. And interestingly, while Katie Britt is sort of an unknown quantity here, J.D. Vance has previously opined that Trump could be America's Hitler and Marco Rubio. Was in, you know, a really divisive primary against him in 2016. Those are both critics of him in the past, but they're still on the list. Waz, I want your thoughts. Like, it's an interesting three choices. No Tim Scott, no Nikki Haley, no Kirstie Noem, and no Marjorie or Kari Lake. What do you think?
Little Marco Rubio. I think it's 2018 is enough in, 2016 is enough in the past that Trump can forgive a guy who, because he didn't really run against Trump in 2016. He was part of like 90 Republicans who wanted to try to be president. Whereas Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, they deserve a spanking because they obviously defied a guy who clearly was like, this is my presidency to run for, and you guys got it my way. So that's out of the question. And I think, honestly, it's smart, the people on the list, because what he's trying to do is appeal to the kind of suburban, you know, like I mentioned before, women voters, college educated voters who are scared by his erratic nature. I don't think he's going to appease those people by, you know, nominating freaking Marjorie Taylor Greene, foaming at the mouth psychopath of his party. I think he understands. Excuse me. I think he understands the type of voter that he needs to court. And the people on that short list make more sense if that's what his aim is, rather than, you know, some quote unquote firebrand conservative right winger.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, it's a very popular position that he really does need to put a woman in as VP, not only to balance out the fact that he's a raging insane person, but also like his own issues with women, like because of his conduct, you know, the fact that he's a, you know, adjudicated sexual abuser who's defamed women that he's sexually abused, the fact that he killed Roe v. Wade. One would think that you'd want to help balance that out. And yet only one of the three is a woman, and she's a relatively unknown woman. She's probably not on the list anymore. But like, even if you're going to ignore, you know, the mean girl faction or whatever, like, not Tim Scott. He at least, like, I don't like Tim Scott. I'm not particularly impressed by Tim Scott, but Tim Scott seems like a relatively calm person. I think that he would be a moderating influence, at least visually. I think that he wouldn't create a whole bunch of scandals and insane stuff. Like, J.D. Vance is off-putting, and they would throw all of his past comments about Donald Trump in his face constantly in debates and things like that. Marco Rubio, I guess he's kind of young still, but it's not like you need him to win Florida. I don't know why you would choose him in comparison to some of these like Republican governors like Kristi Noem. It's just sort of weird. If that is the last three, and by the way, it's a conservative blogger. Maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't. That seems like a weird three to me. And I just don't know that I buy that any of those three will be the one. But anyway, we're going to move on to one other top. Oh, and I do just want to say, like, I'll say this at the risk of potentially being proven wrong. Marjorie Greene, you have peaked. Okay, look, to your credit, you've peaked way higher than you should have ever, considering your inherent qualities as a person, your complete lack of knowledge or interest in the world. You're just a bundle of hatreds and fears and ignorance. And so the fact that you became a congresswoman at all is, it's downright disturbing. But that's it. No, you're not VP, okay? I can't, like, run for Senate, please, and doom yourself in that way. Why are you not content with the fact that because it's like the 10th reddest district in America, you can probably waste that position in Congress for the rest of your natural life? Why is that not enough for you? Anyway, okay, let's move on to our final story, starting with this.
Where's the Admiral? Ronnie Jackson, come on up here.
Ronnie Jackson, my doctor. Dr. Ronnie, where's Ronnie? Where's Ronnie? Oh, he was the White House doctor. He was a great doctor. You know, he was an admiral, a doctor, and now he's a congressman. I said, which is the best if you had your choice? And he sort of indicated doctor because he loved looking at my body. It was so strong, powerful.
Oh, God, that's so weird. So deeply weird. Why are you doing this to him? I don't even like Ronnie Jackson, but don't say that in public. That's super weird. I'm gonna try to forget that. But the, oh, where's Ronnie? Where's Ronnie? He was an admiral, and Trump has never been righter than he was there. He was an admiral, but no more, because he has actually been demoted by the Navy. Admiral no more, still technically a doctor. Don't let him see your body, whether it's strong or not. But he was apparently demoted following a damaging Pentagon Inspector General's report that substantiated a variety of different allegations against him over his inappropriate behavior while he was in the White House as a doctor. So a Navy official confirmed that the service took unspecified action against Jackson in the wake of that report. It found that he had berated subordinates in the White House medical unit, quote, made sexual and denigrating statements about a female subordinate, dear God, consumed alcohol inappropriately with subordinates, and consumed the sleep drug Ambien while on duty as the president's physician. Ironically enough, much of what he did while he was a doctor on Ambien was prescribe things like Ambien to anyone who asked for it. So I guess he just wanted to, I don't know, get high in his own supply while he was doling out pills like it was candy. So in any event, he has lost that recognition by the Navy. Admiral's obviously incredibly high rank. He's still, I believe he's a captain now, and still technically a doctor, technically a congressman. If you follow his social media activity, he's also a legitimate crazy person. And the idea that anyone would entrust their health or their life to Ronnie Jackson is such a weird choice for your life. But Waz, what do you think?
He is just the perfect guy to be, you know, very affiliated with Trump world. Obviously, the guy has no integrity and even less scruples. If we're to believe what his, you know, his medical practices have been. But yeah, now he gets to be a little Republican mini celebrity, and obviously the people in Congress don't do no damn work. So good for him. He's gone from the Navy, or he's, you know, been demoted, but now he gets to do his true calling.
Yeah, just tweeting angrily, I suppose, because he was watching the State of the Union last night. He said, wow, they over-medicated him, angry, confused, and yelling. I think Hunter may be prescribing his drugs now. But dude, you were over-prescribing people. You might literally have been prescribing Don Jr. Remember, we had the report last week. The White House was awash in Speed and Xanax. That's what he was in charge of. My God, these people are just projection. Projection and Ambien, I guess. Those two things, projection, Ambien, and a little bit of speed just to wash it down. Anyway, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Much more to come in the aftermath. We'll see you there.